Welcome to the Dash Mindset Podcast. I'm Sherry Zevenbergen. You were born, you're gonna die, and your adventure is your dash in between. So make the most of it. Unlock your potential in all aspects of your dash by embracing your uniqueness and living in a way that's authentic to you, not by doing more things, but by focusing on the right things. I'm a former corporate leader turned coach who's on my own journey, and I'm passionate about helping you on your journey too. So on the podcast, we'll explore how to live authentically by deciphering who you truly are and what you truly want. Are you ready to take a step toward designing your dash? Someday doesn't actually exist, so let's do it now. Hey everyone, today I'm talking about something we all struggle with at times, control, or more specifically, identifying when we do and don't have it. Generally speaking, we all know we can't control everything, right? That our control is limited. When thinking rationally anyway, we generally do. But as I've talked about before, when we're in a state of overwhelm, frustration, burnout, anger, whatever that less than positive emotion is, all rationale goes out the window. And sometimes even when we are thinking rationally, we still get it mixed up because sometimes it feels like we just cannot control ourselves. And sometimes it feels like we can or at least should be able to control everyone and everything else. So I want to share a concept that can help reduce negative emotions and ensure you're putting your time and energy toward the right things instead, on the things you can actually impact, rather than simply draining the mental energy, the mental space, all of the things you have with zero benefit. So the concept is the sphere of control. So when you're experiencing negative emotions, whatever they are, it's a matter of identifying the specific situation that's triggering the negative emotion and asking yourself, is this something I can control? What specifically can I actually control in this situation? Start there. Actually write those things down, the things you can actually control. You can come back later, take a look, and think through the how. But the first step is simply identifying what you can control. The second step is identifying an influence. So ask yourself, what specifically can I influence in this situation? Then actually write those things down. Again, you can come back to that list. The remainder consists of everything else you can neither control nor influence, which is often where we focus and often spend a lot of our time without benefit. Without recognizing, no level of worry will change those things. No level of anxiety or concern will alter the outcome. Focusing on these things is generally what sucks our energy. So I'll walk through a very general situation you might relate to. Living with other people. I live with other people, and I like things neat and tidy, and I have a tendency to get anxious when they're not. So I often have the thought, if everyone in my house put things where I thought they should be every single time, what a magical world it would be. And if everyone in my house would do exactly what I told them to do every time, so much wasted time would be eliminated. So much. But oddly enough, they often don't, because their way is just as right from their point of view, which can be so aggravating at times, right? And at those times, having a sense of control sounds so magical. The feeling of having a handle on things, seemingly a handle on life overall, if even for a moment. But both unfortunately and fortunately, the one and only thing we can truly control is ourselves. That's it. We can control our thoughts. We can control our words, our behavior, our reactions to circumstances, and our reactions to other people. And we can control the choices we make. That's it. Just ourselves. So I can control how neat and tidy I keep things, and I can control my reaction when other people don't. Because other than ourselves, nothing is entirely within our control. The moment in my life when that really hit me, that I couldn't actually control anyone other than myself, was when our youngest refused to stay in his car seat when he was about 2 years old. Now, this happened on numerous occasions, but I distinctly remember a particular Target parking lot incident. As we were returning to our van after what seemed like a 4-hour trip into Target, and actually may have been a 4-hour trip at that point, I was still kicking myself for thinking a quick trip to Target was actually possible with a 2-year-old. And so we got back to the van, and I spent several minutes buckling my spirited, I'll say, and resolute child into his car seat. Very different adjectives than I probably used that day. And he wanted no part of it. I don't remember why, but to him, it didn't matter if I understood. It absolutely did not. He just didn't. And when I finally got him buckled and I finally began to pull away, that spirited little man unbuckled, jumped out of his seat, and laughed as he pressed the button to open the van door. And I clearly remember having no idea what to do. I could not get that kid to stay in his car seat. And I had no idea how I could actually drive without him potentially unbuckling and roaming around the van. Did I strap him into my seat, onto my lap to get him home? That didn't seem like a good option. Did I head back into Target for Benadryl? That also didn't seem like a good option. And I'd already tried bribery, so what had I not tried? It was the middle of the day, and he wasn't a big nap taker, so was it a matter of sitting in the parking lot for 7 hours until he was tired enough to fall asleep? I truly didn't know. And in all honesty, I don't remember what I finally did. Maybe I blacked out. I'm not really sure. Eventually, we got home. But how on earth did I have such little control over such a tiny human? Especially one that was supposed to be just like me. Unfortunately, he was actually just like me when I was 2. The main difference was really that we didn't have car seats at the time, seatbelts or sliding doors at that time. And my mom was probably smart enough not to take me on a quick trip to Target. But at that point, I wanted him to be like the version of me when I was in my 30s. And to be rational, right? Which he clearly was not. So my point is, no matter how much we think people should do what we want, even when they're the ones we created, we don't actually ever have the level of control we want or think we should. So when they're not little people we've created, we really, really don't have control. Ultimately, we can only control ourselves. The only thing we can actually do with other people, created by us or not, is influence them. And that leads us to the second category, or the second step. Once we've determined what we can control, we can then consider what we can't directly control, but can influence. There are a few things we can influence, but to make it simple, other people is the big category that falls into the influence category. We aren't able to control them. We can only influence them. We can influence their thoughts, their opinions of us, their choices, their actions. We can potentially influence their futures, but we can't actually control them. So we can control ourselves. We can influence others. And when it comes to nearly everything else, we can neither influence nor directly control. This includes things such as the weather, the economy, the media, traffic, and a really big one, the past. So when I find myself frustrated and feeling like everything is out of control, I remind myself what actually is within my control and what is not. Because that in itself can provide a sense of control. And once I determine what's actually within my control, I can determine my next steps. I can think and do something to get myself out of it. One of the reasons I was inspired to talk about this today was because this comes up for me and for other people I work with a lot. And also because my friend Lisa Even recently spoke to the graduate class I teach, and the sphere of control was part of her presentation, as it often is. As a side note, if you don't follow Lisa on social media, just to be clear, you should. She's a joy connoisseur and speaker. She wrote the book, Joy is My Job, and she's about to start a podcast. She's fantastic. Anyway, I'm a big fan of visuals, and I know a lot of people are. So if you're one of them, I encourage you to Google sphere of control images. Essentially, the concept I explained in a visual form, and it's super helpful. So the visual has three circles. The tiny inner circle is what we can actually control. The slightly larger circle surrounding that is what we can influence. And the very large circle around that one is what we can neither control nor influence. Lots of visuals out there to choose from. But the concept is the same. So let's walk through a simple example as if you have a visual of the sphere of control in front of you. Okay. So one of your work colleagues has been condescending lately, which is like shards of glass in your eye. At least that's the way condescending behavior is for me. Shards of glass. So let's think about this. What's within your control? Your colleague? Nope. The only thing you can control here is yourself. And that's what goes into the control circle. So imagining you have a visual of the sphere of control in front of you, right? Myself in the control circle. Now, what can you influence? Your colleague. So that goes in the influence circle. And we will come back to that. So myself is what you've written in the control circle. Your colleague is what you've written in the influence circle. Now, what can you neither control nor influence? You might see a lot of things here. The primary one that comes to my mind is the past. The fact that you've already experienced his condescending words, tone, delivery, whatever. Does that mean you can't focus on what happened? Absolutely not. You can focus on what already happened, replaying the incidents over and over and over again in your mind. But will that change anything? No, nothing other than your mental state. Does it impact him in any way? No, he's going about his business, living his life. So you can write the past or what has already happened, however you want to note it, in the biggest and final circle, which represents what you can neither control nor influence. Okay, so now let's get back to the control circle and the fact that you can only control yourself. So that's what you've noted in the control circle. What steps can you take? There are a ton of options. So let's just brainstorm a few. Your colleague's been condescending. What can you control? And what can you do about it? You can control yourself. And so the steps you could take might include quitting your job. You could quit your job. You wouldn't have a condescending colleague anymore. You could. Might not be the best option, but it is an option. You could scream at your colleague. You could just totally go off on him. Also an option. Again, might not be the best one, but it is an option. And another option might be having a conversation with him. Getting curious, asking questions. Asking questions about what his intent was. What's going on in his world? Might not feel like something you want to do, as likely not the first thing that comes to mind, but again, it is an option. And another option could be changing your own thoughts. You could have the thought and just assume that he was well-intentioned. And maybe he had something going on in his life outside of work, but he was well-intentioned. Or maybe something going on in your own day led you to taking it differently than he intended. Another option, changing your thoughts. So that was the circle of control. And those are the steps you can take. Now, let's move on to what you can influence and move on to the influence circle where you had noted your colleague. What steps could you take to potentially influence him? One option would be simply asking him to stop speaking to you in a condescending way. It won't control his behavior, but it might influence it. Another option might be attempting to influence your work environment and other colleagues too. Again, influencing others. You could develop a committee to eliminate condescending behavior in your workplace. It might not be an option you want to do anything with, but it is an option. And so you can keep brainstorming from there, but I think you get the gist. There's control, there's what you can influence, and there's neither of the above. And it's a matter of identifying those things and deciding, okay, what can I do about this? So there you have it, the sphere of control. I hope this helps you approach the negative stuff in your life in a productive way. And I hope it helps you reduce the worries, the concerns, all the stuff that drains you, that provides zero benefit to anyone. If it does, I would love to know. Please let me know and leave a review. And If you'd like more help, which I'm happy to provide, reach out to me on my website at the-mindset.com. Thanks for joining me, and keep living your dash.
Thanks so much for listening to the Dash Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast player, tell your friends, and leave us a review. Follow me on my social media platforms highlighted in the show notes, and get in touch with me at the-mindset.com. Share the topics you'd like me to explore in future episodes. Thanks again for listening to the Dash Mindset Podcast. We'll see you next time. Design and differentiate your dash your way and make today amazing.